Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I ended up seeing like Bruno Mars, Aerosmith, Post Malone, who else? Like Cardi B. I saw all these people live. And I went to see Aerosmith, and because I was a big fan when I was younger. And it was depressing seeing Steven Tyler move in the way that he did.
Well, he's older, man.
And I know. I'm not trying to shame him at all, but I just, when I sat there and I watched him, I didn't want him to move around so much. I just wanted him to sort of stay there and sway. It would have been cooler because he's starting to run around the stage and stuff. He's stiff and just, it wasn't the same. And I
72.
Said, man.
72.
Yeah, I know. And good for him that he's doing it. I don't want to. It just, for me, what it was is with an introspection, like, wow, if he's that old, then I am now. I am that old. I'm getting to that point because, like, these guys were, like, young and cool and everything when I was growing up listening to music, and now here we are.
And you're not even 40 yet.
I know. I think I'm 38, right? Not 39. Yeah, I'm 38, not 39.
Yeah,
you ever forget
awful.
How old? You ever forget,
no,
ever forget how old you are?
My friend does that. Like, how do you forget? Yeah. No, I don't. No.
You know, because most of my friends are a year older than me.
Right.
So they're all preparing for their 40th birthdays. So then I think that I'm that age, too, for whatever reason. But then I'm a year younger. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Must be nice.
What, being 38?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, there's always a better.
You'd say it'd be better to be 28, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But you're talking to a guy who's 46, 51, and 50-something in there for Mr. I Hate Birthdays.
Yeah.
But here's what he's not. He's not 38.
No, he's not 38. Do you have a year in your life, like an age you'd go back to if you could?
I mean, no, not really. They've all been good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gee, can I go back with my brain intact?
With
my 50-whatever-year-old brain?
Oh, sure. Then you're going to pick like 25 or something, right?
Oh, God, younger.
Oh, younger. Okay. All right. Yeah.
As long as I can talk, I'd go back to whatever, 3 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I was going to say two, because I'm watching my daughter at 2 years old thinking like life is great here. She doesn't know anything that's going wrong at any time. Like the only time she gets upset is there's something that like didn't go her way. Then she gets over it for like 2 seconds later. You know, everybody's fawning over her. Like, that's the perfect age right there.
I think more so than age, I'd rather be. And Al and I have talked about this, too. I would like, if there was a time machine, I'd like to experience the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it
they
seems
only
like
show
a cool time.
Yeah, I guess. But I feel like, I don't know, that stuff sort of gets, as years go by, they only focus on the good parts.
Probably.
I mean, there's bad parts too. Like, if you think about it, like, you go back to the 50s, you'd be like, what are you talking about? I don't have a cell phone or air conditioning or, like, there's two TV channels. Like, I can't live like this. This is horrible.
Yes,
this is
but I would
things
still,
that you're used to.
I think it would be cool to experience it.
And for a full year or, like, a couple days?
Just to see it. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't want to move there. I mean, I'm not looking to be a Marty McFly and get stuck in 1955, but I think it'd be cool to see it.
You just want to go to a sock hop, enjoy some 50s rock music,
there
and then
go.
Come back.
Exactly yes. Right.
What?
What did Eddie just say? I can see him. He's killing himself in there. What did he say, G? Let me guess.
I thought that was on the air. I actually thought that was on the air. Thank God it was not. Oh, my goodness.
And he strikes again.
I can't. I mean, I cannot say it.
Of course
I thought,
you can.
I really thought it was. It sounded like it was on the air. It's not on the air. It's on the air. Was that on the air? Not on the air. But, yeah, that was incredible. I think I'd be a little. I'd choose a little more devious time than I think the 50s. I think that's a little too, like, bubblegum happy for
seems
me. Like,
fun, but that's it. It seems fun.
Yeah, but, like, I would. Like, I would want to be one of the cool celebrities in the late 70s going to Studio 54. That's what I think I'd want to be.
Just don't do too much coke.
Well, but that would be, if I was just going back for a couple days, that's what I would do. I think I'd just do every drug and just be a complete mess and be that person that gets dragged out of there. That's what I think. If I knew I was just there for a couple days, like, why not? Like, let's just maximize the hell out of this thing.
How about we move you into Woodstock then?
Yeah, see, not so much. I'm not into that. It was a little too hippy dippy for me. I like running around with no shirts on and sliding in the mud and all that stuff and acid. I'm talking like the club situation, like where you show up and like you turn around like, oh, hey, Diana Ross is here, like stuff like that. You know, like, you walk in, you know, the guy was named Steve something, Steve Raybell or whatever his name was. Like, you go in, you see him. Oh, yeah, we got your table over here, Mr. Giannotti. The music's going. And it's like, you know, all that happy like disco stuff that people are dancing and, you know, having a great time. There's a big what are those things called, mirror balls or whatever that is. They got that up there. And you're just partying your ass off. I think that's the time I think I'd go back
to.
So
you'd be there. Eddie, you'd get dropped into Woodstock for sure, right? You would have loved that.
Yeah. Part of me wants to go back to, like, you know, really ancient times, but no electricity, no indoor plumbing, no thanks.
Stop. I mean, come on. You say that, but you really don't want to do that.
No, exactly. That's right. Because, you know, no plumbing and no electricity.
Right.
But, I mean, like, just for, like, a few minutes to experience, yeah.
No, for a few minutes.
Go see dinosaurs. That would be awesome.
Yeah, for a few minutes you look around.
You get stepped on.
Right, but then that first bowel movement, you're wiping your ass on a boulder. You're like, this sucks, man. Send me back to 2020.
Yeah, there's no tushy back.
Just bring hello tushy with you.
You're not hooking it up to anything, though. That's a problem.
Yeah, but you know, there are certain times that would be appealing.
Okay. Yeah, to me, I always think about like that 70s time, I think, for sure. That would be a lot of fun. Cool. 70s. Disco, Studio 54, get drunk, the whole thing.
Go back, say hi to Jesus.
Fraud! Fraud! Eddie's setting himself up with Jesus drops. Unbelievable. That's what we got here on a Thursday. Boomer's out, and Eddie's setting himself up with Jesus fraud drops. My goodness. You'd expect nothing less from the guy in there.
Oh, boy.
All right. Everybody knows. So just so everybody knows, Eddie is an atheist, if you haven't figured that out yet, just so everybody knows.
Oh, I think everybody knows.
We'll just put that out there. Yeah. I know. I'm being facetious. Okay. We've got CeeLo here with a sports update. What's happening, Chris?
All right. End of season press conferences, of course, for Yankees management yesterday. And as you guys alluded to there in the open, Brian Cashman pretty much unprompted outlining the collaborative process between Aaron Boone and the front office. It's not my call, Cashman says.
I know there's that narrative. It's been asked several times about, you know, the manager being a puppet and all that. None of that's true. I've never ordered a manager to do anything specifically.
And that certainly predates the Boone hire.
Aaron would be able to testify to that, as well as Joe Girardi and Joe Torre. They've never been directed at any time by me or our front office to do something that they didn't want to do.
They do make suggestions. Boone takes it all into account, including input and feedback from his coaching staff. And then
I certainly consult with a lot of people. But I think our guys understand that ultimately it's my decision.
All of this specifically related to that curious Game 2 pitching plan against the Rays, which blew up in their face. Another theme from yesterday, what to make of Gary Sanchez and what to do with him moving forward. Here was Cashman's thoughts on his struggling catcher.
The performance wasn't Gary Sanchez caliber, and that obviously allowed Higashioka to come in and do what he did and kind of take control towards the end.
He admitted that they now have to take a closer look at that spot this offseason. Sanchez scheduled for his second year of arbitration this winter.
He's
still two more years away from free agency. He turns 28 on December 2nd. Now back to Boone. He wanted to pretty much pound it into everyone's head that they're still really close and still knocking on the door.
How our team is constructed and what we have right now, I very much feel like is still capable of winning a championship.
And doesn't think major changes are needed during the offseason. Don't panic. Just fine-tune things a little bit, just as they would if they were coming off a World Series title.
Hopefully, when we win a championship, which I hope is next year. Hopefully we're trying to get a little better from that. I mean, that never stops. But I think it's also important to realize how close we are.
A lot of hoping in there. Some other notes, Boone and Cashman obviously would like to bring back DJ LeMahieu, but negotiations yet to begin, as you'd expect. Nobody to this point headed for offseason surgery. It's a Liz Frank injury for Luke Voigt. Obviously, we saw him hobbling around for much of the year. PRP injection. He should heal with rest and treatment. And Luis Severino's coming along in his recovery from Tommy John surgery, already throwing at 90 feet. Look for him to return to big league action.
There's added depth right there.
Early next summer.
Yep.
Now to the four teams who are still playing. The Dodgers down 0-2 to the Braves, and the NLCS made an early statement last night in Arlington.
Dayton on 3-2. The bases are loaded. There goes the carousel, and there's a fly ball to center field. That's well hit, and it's a grand slam home run. Max Muncy. It is 11-0, and we're not finished with the first.
I got to tell you, I was at my son's baseball game last night. It had to have been six or seven people that came up to me. See what the Dodgers did? See what the Dodgers did? I'm like, no, I'm here. What did the Dodgers do? They're like, oh, it's 15-1 or whatever. I'm like, oh, wow, they won. No, it's the second inning. Yeah. I was like, wow, okay, that's pretty good.
But I know it. Like, but it is crazy to see in that first inning as you're watching it unfold. You're like, wow, this is unbelievable. But then the game's over. It's right. Like after that, it's,
well, that's true.
You're not watching it anymore. So like something like this is as crazy as it was in everybody, because it's, you know, the game started early. It wasn't like in the middle of the night last night. Like everybody's on Twitter talking about it, and it's like a Major League Baseball was front and center. There was no football yesterday for the first time all week, and then it was just like, okay, that's the end of that. So we'll move on and we'll wait for Rays Astros to start.
Right. No, you're right about that. That is true.
And front runner Al's got his Dodgers shirt on today. Very fitting. There you go. Good job out of him. That was all in that frame. The 11 in the first, the most runs ever scored in a single inning in postseason history. Kyle Wright, Grant Dayton taking it on the chin for Atlanta as LA would cruise to a 15-3 victory to get on the board in the series. Amazingly, Atlanta didn't use any position players, so the Dodgers did take some bullets out of their relievers, and that is important because the Braves are set to go with a bullpen game tonight while LA gets Clayton Kershaw back on the mound. He's past those back spasms that scratched him from game two. So LA will look to even the series.
Let's hope so.
8:08 first pitch. Right. You never know. See how he wakes up later on today or this morning. Prior to that, you'll have game five of the ALCS tonight because the Astros avoided elimination against the Rays.
2-1. And Springer drives this one pretty deep to left field. Ball is hooking. If it stays fair, it's gone, and it's gone. A home run for Springer, and the Astros are on top, 3-2.
Robert Ford, Astros Radio. Actually, 4-2 in the fifth, and that extra run, it turned out to be the difference. Houston hanging on for a 4-3 victory over Tampa Bay. Zach Greinke, 6 innings, 7 strikeouts for the win, and he K'd Mike Brasso with the bases loaded with his final pitch of the night. Dusty Baker sticking with him there, and the struggling Jose Altuve bounced back at a home run and an RBI double, so they will play at 5:07 this evening or this afternoon, San Diego time. Let's get to the Jets now. Adam Gase with the media yesterday. Of course, a lot of questions geared to the Le'Veon Bell release.
Spoke with him. You know, for us, we just felt like it was best that we part ways. It gives him an opportunity to go somewhere else.
And what the heck happened with this guy? They barely got anything out of him in season plus.
Do you agree with the perception that you misused him?
It's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, but Adam, when a team makes a free agent investment that large and it ends before two seasons, I think the fans are interested in knowing why it didn't work out with a player of that stature.
It didn't work out. It didn't work out, and we're going to focus on this game right now.
This is where he loses you.
Yeah.
Give us an answer.
I know.
It's like, not hard.
And it's not like we're talking about a fan favorite player that was very hard to part with. And there's just as many people blaming Le'Veon Bell for this than they are the Jets. Like, this is the one time he could actually curry some favor his way, and he didn't do it.
Nope.
And he made himself look worse.
I mean,
this isn't one of those instances where no matter what he says, Boomer says this all the time, no matter what he says, people are going to crush him. Not in this instance. I actually think there was an answer here that he could have given that would have been palatable to the fan base, and he elected to act like a total douche again.
He does himself no favors, none.
No. As for what he thinks of Bell moving forward, he's asked, can he still be a productive back in the league?
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
I guess we'll wait and see. put him in a good offense, watch him take off. Wouldn't that be fitting? Sam Darnold out again, by the way, for Sunday's road game at Miami, so you'll have Gio's favorite Joe Flacco getting another start at quarterback. Giants in Washington Sunday at MetLife. Of course, the 0-5 start for Big Blue. Daniel Jones' numbers and play, not quite as impressive so far as at times in his rookie year. Where does Joe Judge stand on his quarterback?
I've seen a lot of progress from Daniel. He's definitely come. He's a very resilient guy. He's a fighter. He stands there and plays very aggressive. I'm pleased with the way he played for the most part to this point.
And he says he's taking the constructive criticism pretty well and pretty even keeled from that standpoint. So see if he can get things turned around along with the team in general. The news yesterday, Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19. Of course, the Alabama head coach, but as you'd expect, still able to run the show from a distance.
I watched practice today. I had the manager had a phone. If I wanted a play repeated, I said repeat that play. So-and-so messed up. So, you know, I didn't leave the country or anything. I'm just right down the street.
So he's still very much in charge.
And ironically, he's one of those guys. He's asymptomatic, yes.
He said he feels fine.
Yeah. And he's one of those guys that I think has been, every time you've seen him, he's had his mask on. I don't know what he's doing behind closed doors. But it seems like, you know, outwardly, he has done everything the right way. So just hope he's okay and remains asymptomatic.
I mean, it's just, it's tough with the college situation. I mean, that's really difficult. You got so many players.
Yeah.
A lot of them feel like they're invincible. And then you're around
football too, Jay.
Yeah, exactly. That's really what I'm talking about. And then you got practice where Nick Saban is very hands-on. He's in the faces of these guys. It's just, it's tough. That, you know, you can find ways to avoid this. But if you're a college football head coach, you're on a staff, and the players are going out and doing the things that college kids do, it's going to be very difficult.
They've got a home game against Georgia Saturday night. Of course, he's got Steve Sarkisian on his coaching staff, and he's got prior head coaching experience. He would step in Saban's absence. The other side of things, you've got Florida postponing their game with LSU because of their COVID outbreak. Up to 19 players, I guess, have tested positive in recent days or the last week or so for the Gators. And this is all just a few days after head coach Dan Mullen was urging fans to pack the swamp. He wanted 90,000 strong. Here's Florida AD Scott Strickland yesterday on that.
You know, coaches sometimes say things that are outside their area of expertise.
And that would be the case here.
That's tremendous.
So that game tentatively been rescheduled for the SEC's built-in bye week, December 12th, which is the week before the SEC championship. So as we've seen across a lot of sports here, a lot of situations, got to be flexible and adapt. And I guess that's what they'll do with that game there, guys.
Excellent. All right, very good, CeeLo. Thank you. It's Boomer and Gio. It's Jerry in for Boomer on the Fan and CBS Sports Network live from the Built Ford Tough Studios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.